If you have your Bible this morning and want to read with me the scripture that the Lord's laid upon my heart, I'm going to turn to John chapter 13. So St. John chapter 13, and I'm just going to read two verses this morning, the 34th and the 35th verse. St. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. Now, this is a familiar setting of scripture to you. In fact, back several months ago, 3 months ago, something like that, the Lord had me touch on these scriptures and minister about Christian love. And when the Lord began to lay this message upon my heart, I began to ask the Lord, now, Lord, I just ministered on love here not long ago, and the Lord just kept bringing me back to this setting of scripture, so I feel like the Lord has something here for us this morning in these few verses. This is Jesus speaking in John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. And Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you." Now, maybe a commandment knows, when he says a new commandment, this is not a suggestion. "But a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." That's a pretty profound statement. As he has loved us, he desires for us to love others. And then he says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask if you bow your heads and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing in ministering his word today. Father, what a privilege that we have to be able to gather here in this place in your name, and we thank you for that. We thank you this morning, Lord, that these that have come that are hungry to hear the word of the Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your precious Holy Spirit that's been in our worship service. And as we have been led into worship and to honoring your name through song and through praise, we thank you for your presence in our hearts this morning. And Lord, we come to the reading of the word of God, and I simply ask that you would supernaturally anoint my mind and my mouth and these lips of clay. I pray, Lord, that you would give me divine thought, that you would give me divine utterance, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to speak what you would have me to speak. Empower what is spoken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that it will fall upon ears that are touched of God and hearts that have been touched by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to hear and to receive. I pray that everything that is said and everything that is done will be done to glorify Jesus and edify the body of Christ. Bless me now to be a blessing. Give me sweet liberty to minister the word of the living God. And Lord, we will forever give you the praise, and we will forever give you the thanks. And we ask it now in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. 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 So I want to title, in keeping with the weekend, I want to title my message this morning, "A Trick or a Treat Kind of Christian." A Trick or a Treat Kind of Christian. Imagine, if you will, in the theater of your mind this morning, imagine, if you will, it was a dark and stormy night. You could hear the thunder as it rolled across the midnight sky. In the distance, the lightning flashed, and you could hear the sound of bats as they screeched and flapped their wings in the darkness of night. There, standing in the moonlight, a centuries-old castle. as the wolves howled in the distance and the trees swayed in the wind. Inside the castle, a faint light shone from a laboratory. This was the laboratory of the maddest scientist of them all, the laboratory of the infamous Dr. Evangelical. A rat ran across the granite floor as a daunting figure appeared in the light. It was Dr. Evangelical himself with a white laboratory coat stained with the evidence of his notorious experiments. His eyes were glowing with delight as he gazed upon the table in the middle of the room covered with a white sheet. And under the sheet lay a human form, and suddenly Dr. Evangelical shouted, "Igor, come quickly. We have much to do." Irregular footsteps could be heard coming down the hall, and in a matter of moments, a hunchback man with wild eyes, tattered clothes appeared. It's Igor, the assistant, and he carries in one hand a candle, and under his other arm, a large cardboard box.
"Yes, master. Everything is here and in order. Everything is ready.
Bring everything to me," shouts Dr. Evangelical. "Tonight we begin the experiment." Thunder could be heard in the background. I don't know, I hope I'm drawing a pretty good picture of all this. Thunder could be heard in the background as Igor drags the box across the floor to the table. Dr. Evangelical shouts, "Tonight we will conduct the greatest experiment of my career. Tonight shall be my greatest triumph. Tonight I shall achieve what no man has achieved before. Tonight I will create spiritual life. This shall be my greatest hour. For tonight I will create Christianstein." More lightning and thunder heard in the background. "Igor, I know they think I'm crazy. I know they have said that I'm mad, but Christianstein shall be the greatest specimen of spiritual life ever seen to the world. He shall have everything. Everything. The moment has arrived. Igor, my gloves."
"Yes, master."
Dr. Evangelical shouts, "Give me the voice of a great evangelist." Igor reaches in the box and pulls out a jar holding the voice of a great evangelist. "Igor, give me the courage of Stephen." Once again, Igor reaches into the box and he produces a vial of courage. "And now, Igor, give me the patience of Job." Igor hands him an ancient flask containing the Christian attitude of patience. "And now, Igor, my creation must have faith. Give me the faith of Abraham." Once again, Igor reaches into the box and he pulls out the faith of Abraham. "And now, Igor, give me the hypodermic syringe and the serums that I distilled earlier." Igor's hand trembles as he presents a long, steely syringe and an array of different bottles filled with different colored fluids. The doctor mumbles to himself as he draws the fluid from each vial. "First, my creation will need a double dose of daily prayer and Bible reading." And he injects the fluid into the lifeless arm of the figure upon the table. And from another vial, he mumbles, "A dose of faithful church attendance. And a dose of generous giving, and a shot of temperance and volunteer work. The ability," he draws from another vial, "the ability to resist temptation and be a good witness. He's creating the perfect Christian. The doctor pauses for a moment, and then he feels the final container. And last but not least, he says, a triple injection of doctrine. My creation must know the Word of God and rightly divide the truth. He must have church orthodoxy. He must know church doctrine. The doctor consults his list once more. Examine the box, Igor. Have we forgotten anything?
No, Master.
Excellent. This is the moment that we have waited for. This is the moment that we have desired. And now Christian Stein will come to life. The doctor rushes to the near wall where there is an electrical panel. And the doctor shouts, and now a million volts of lightning will bring to life my creation. Stand back, Igor, while I throw the power, and prepare to meet the perfect Christian, Christian Stein. Dr. Evangelical throws the massive switch and an avalanche of thunder shakes the castle. The figure upon the table begins to tremble. Doctor, shouted Igor, it's alive! It's moving! Dr. Evangelical says, yes, yes, my creation lives! Christian Stein lives! Christian Stein, the creature, slowly sits up and then slowly climbs from the table to his full height. The doctor is so excited, he shouts again, yes, my creation, it lives. And the figure looked down at the doctor and frowned with a scowl and began to speak in a low and hostile voice. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I have not love. Love, says the doctor. Looking at his list once again, slowly the creature lifts his hands toward the doctor who's still consulting the list. And the beast says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and faith so that I can move mountains, if I have not love, I am nothing. Love, cried the doctor. Igor, what is he talking about?
I don't know, Master.
The beast goes on to speak, and though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Suddenly the figure growled, picking up the doctor by the coat from off of the floor. If I have not love, he says, it profits me nothing. If I have not love, I am nothing, bellowed the creature, throwing the doctor to the ground and then reaching for his throat. Igor, you fool! I knew we forgot something. We have forgotten love. The doctor fleeing for his life with the beast, Christian Stein, following close behind him. And a few minutes pass before Igor finally comes out from under the table. He says, looking around this way and that way, I fear that we have created a monster. Hello? The point this morning of the little silly story is to point out to us that we can have our doctrine completely straight. We can have zeal and we can have a desire to be in the church every time the church doors are open. We can be generous in our giving and we can be the professed perfect Christian, and we can have faith, and we can have patience, and we can have the approval of others. But if we do not have love, we have nothing. We are more trick than treat. Hello? We are more trick than treat. This morning, our text covers an element that is so essential to our Christianity. Amen. It is so essential and so vital that Jesus would say to us in our text that it is the defining factor as to whether people can tell that we are a committed believer. It is the defining factor that would testify of our relationship with God. Jesus said in our text, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one to another." Not if you obey the Ten Commandments, not if you speak with tongues, not if you have all of the prophetic dates in Daniel and Revelation correct. No, we said, amen, the real sign of you having a relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be what kind of love is coming forth out of your life. Amen. The text says that it is love that defines us. Yes, like Christian Stein, we need patience and we need temperance and we need to be generous in our giving and we need, amen, the courage of Stephen and we need the patience of Job and we need the faith of Abraham and we need the power of Elijah and we need all of the faith. But brother, let me tell you something this morning. If it doesn't operate out of a spirit of love, we are nothing in the sight of God. We must have love. Amen. The defining factor, the Bible says, is our love. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. I want to read to you verse number 9 and verse number 10 this morning. Romans 12, 9 and 10. I just want to spend a few moments speaking to you what the Bible says about love. Paul said to the Roman church in Romans 12 and 9, he said, love sincerely, from a sincere heart. Love one another, love with a sincere heart, love sincerely. And I'm reading the God's Word translation. He said, hate evil, hold on to that which is good. Listen to this. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Excel in showing respect for each other. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says, above all things, put on love, for it is the bond of perfectness. That's the King James Version, the bond of perfectness. The God's Word said, above all, be loving. This ties everything together. Amen. It is love that ties. I've called love the super glue of the gospel. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we can be filled with knowledge and we can be filled with doctrine and we can be filled with the word and we can be filled with patience and filled with all of the things that we need to be filled with. But if we do not have love, we miss the mark. If we do not have love, it is love that binds us together. It is love that causes us to be bound together as a family unit of God. Beloved, the Word of God teaches us that we are to love one another. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7 and verse number 8. Said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God. Hello? Amen. Love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. First John 4, chapter 4, verse 10 and verse number 11, the scripture says, this is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear children, if this is how God loves, then we should love one another likewise. We should love one another. We should love one another, amen, as God has loved us. The Bible said, freely we have received, and now he requires that we freely give. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. The Bible says, if anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother. Hey, this is really plain. The Bible says, if anyone says that I love God and they hate their brother, they are a liar. Amen. If anyone says, I love God and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Give you a couple of more verses. John, 1 John 3 and 14. For we know that we have passed from death unto life, from sin unto salvation. Amen. Because we have love for our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in sin, or remains in death, or remains in darkness. If we don't have love in our heart for our fellow man, and we don't have love in our heart for our brothers and our sisters, then it is we that remain in darkness and remain in sin. Because everyone that is born of God loves like God. One more scripture. 1 John 3 and 18. Dear children, let us not love with words and tongue, but with actions and in deeds. How many of you know you can say one thing and do another? Hello? I've seen that. Amen. We can say one thing and then do something else. And our actions speak louder than words. Can you say amen? Amen. John here says, dear children, let us love not with just our words and our tongue, but let us love with our actions and our deeds. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that we are a trick kind of Christian, and we are just fooling ourselves and fooling others around us into thinking that we are a true disciple if we are not walking in love. Amen. But I want you to know we can be a treat kind of Christian and be filled with faith and be filled with power and be filled with patience and be filled with all of the attributes of God and also have the love of God flowing in our heart and flowing in our life and out to those that are around us. Amen. We need to be a treat kind of Christian, because the trick kind of Christian is like Christian Stein. He's filled with jargon and he's filled with doctrine, amen, and he's filled with hatred. He's lacking love. Amen. I'm going to tell you, just like Igor looks around and says, I fear we have created a monster. I think sometimes, amen, that the church itself has become a doctrinal monster in the world today. Yes, we need doctrine. Yes, we need to preach the truth. But we need to do it in love. Hello? We need to do it with a heart that's filled with love, entreating them and bringing them, amen, from their sin to the salvation of God, instead of looking down our nose and pointing a pointy finger and saying, you're in the wrong and you're in the wrong. That's the wrong attitude. Amen. We need to preach the truth, but we need to preach the truth in love. Now, I said when I began this message, the Lord, when he began to put this word upon my heart, I said, you know, Lord, I just ministered about love just a few months ago. I don't want to return to that subject. I don't want to, and that was on about Tuesday. And the Lord just kept dealing with me, kind of bringing me back to that setting of scripture. And Wednesday, I said, now listen, Lord, I'm telling you, I've already preached on love, and I want to just bypass that this week, all right? Give me something else to preach. And then Thursday, the Lord said, this is what I want you to speak. And I, you know, looked at the heavens and I said, now wait a minute, Lord, now wait, just let's have a little powwow here. I've already talked about that. Why in the world would you have me to speak on it all over again? And the Lord said to me, he said, go to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Go there this morning. Listen to what the Bible says in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Let me give you a little bit of background as to what's happening here. The Bible says in the first verse of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew that Jesus went out of the temple. And he was about to depart from the temple, and his disciples come to him and they said, Lord, look at this marvelous building. Look at this great, magnificent temple. And Jesus said, do you see all this thing, all these things? He said, verily I say unto you, there's going to come a time when there will not be one stone left upon another. And that happened in 70 AD when Titus the Roman came in and they literally overturned the stones of the temple. And the Bible said that Jesus went on up into the Mount of Olives and his disciples come to him and they said privately to him, they said, Lord, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming? In other words, what's going to happen in the last day and at the time of your coming? And Jesus begins to answer them, and this is what he says in that fourth verse. He said unto them, take heed. How many of you know when Jesus says, take heed, we need to make sure that we are watching out and we are being careful, right? Take heed, warning, 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 warning. Take heed that no man deceive you. For he said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. Now, let me just tell you this morning that the word Christ means the anointed one. There are many that come to us in ministry today claiming to be anointed of God, claiming to be an anointed one, claiming to be anointed of the Lord, and yet they walk not in love. Amen. And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceives you, for there is coming a time when there will come those who claim that they are the anointed of God, and they will deceive many. And Jesus said in verse 9, and you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Amen. He said, see that you are not troubled. In verse 7, he said, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And he said in verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. Verse 13, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And listen to what he says in verse 12. And the love of many shall wax cold, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. I kept telling the Lord, listen, I think you ought to give me something else to preach. I think you ought to give me something else to preach. And I finally said, Lord, why do you want me to preach on love? And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, we are living in the final days. Do you believe that, son? I said, oh, God, I do believe that we're living in the final days of the final hours. I believe this morning that Jesus Christ could split the clouds of glory at any moment to call his people home. He said, son, do you believe that you're living in the last day? I said, yes, Lord. He said, warn my people not to allow their love to wax cold.
warn them that there's going to come an enemy against their soul, and they can have doctrine and they can have patience and they can do all of the right stuff. But if they've lost their first love, if they've left their first love, they're going to miss out. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But I love verse 13. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. He that holds on to their love, he that holds on to their faith, he that holds on to the hand of God, he that holds on to the Christian attitude of love, amen, and lets that love be known, the same shall be saved. Let me tell you something this morning. He warns us that if we're not careful, our love can wax cold. Our love can wax cold. And we become nothing more than Christenstein. We become nothing more than a religious monster. We become nothing more than ritual, and we become nothing more, amen, we become nothing more than right, and we become nothing more than ritual, and we become nothing more, amen, than just going through the motions, and we become nothing more than just attending because we're expected to attend the house of God, and we become nothing more, amen, than a Sunday to Sunday kind of Christian. Oh, I want to be on fire for Jesus every day of the week. He said, the love, because iniquity shall abound. How many of you know iniquity is abounding? Iniquity is abounding. And he said, because iniquity and because sin and because of worldly pressure and because of distraction and because of all of these things, our love can wax cold. Not our zeal can wax cold, not our doctrine will wax cold, not our mission, not our vision, but our love will wax cold. Beloved, I'm here to warn us this morning not to allow the love of God to wax cold in your heart. Don't allow the enemy to come and steal your heart of love, amen, that you have for God. And amen, don't allow the enemy to steal your heart of love toward your fellow man. Don't allow the enemy to put a cold ice pack upon your heart where you become hardened and you become nothing more than a box of theology, amen, and a box of ritual. Amen, we are to be motivated. We are to be moved. We are to be, amen, moved by the Spirit of God's love in our life. Our love shall not wax cold in Jesus' name. So I said to the Lord, you know, God, give me something else to preach. He said, no, I want you to warn them that the time is coming that the enemy will come to cause their love for the house of God to wax cold. The enemy will come and try to cause their love for the Word of God to wax cold. The enemy will come and try to cause their prayer life and the prayers that they pray to wax cold. The enemy will come and try to cause their love and their fervor and their desire to do the things that are right in the sight of the Lord to wax cold. The enemy has come this morning. He desires to cause our heart, amen, to freeze up, if you will. How many of you know that little movie that was going around this summer, Frozen? Amen, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to freeze our heart. He wants our love to wax cold. But I'm going to tell you, if you have a heart full of the Holy Spirit and a heart filled with the love of God and a heart filled with the presence of God, you can't help but be in love with the Lord and love your fellow man. Amen. Stay connected to Jesus and love comes easy. Hello? Stay connected to Jesus and love comes easy. Stay connected to the vine and the branch will produce what it's supposed to produce. Stay connected to the Lord and His life will be an extension of life through you and in you.
That's what God desires of us this morning. Amen. That's what God desires of you and I this morning, to be filled with a heart of love for humanity. A heart of love, amen, that's willing to sacrifice to see the kingdom of God move forward. A heart that's filled with love, amen, for our fellow man. A heart that's filled with love, even for those that have done us wrong, and even for those that have despitefully used us. Amen. Just let the love of Jesus Christ flow right back out of your life. Don't get bitter, get better. Don't get bitter in your spirit and let your love wax cold. But allow the love of Jesus Christ to sustain you. Hallelujah. Stop and think about the silly little story this morning. The doctor, he had all of the right serums: faith, courage, patience, temperance, good works. Everything. I mean, he was pumping it into the arm of that lifeless being. He was creating the perfect Christian. And yet he forgot love. And he became nothing more than a monster. Paul says in that 13th verse of Corinthians, though I speak with the tongue of angels and men, if I have not love, I'm nothing. If I have faith so that I can move mountains and I prophesy and know all mysteries and have all of these things, if I don't have love, I am nothing. It's all empty. It's all empty. He said, though I give my body to be burned at the stake, though I give my life, if I do not have love, it profits me nothing. And Jesus warns us that the enemy will come in the latter days to cause our love to wax cold. Be warned this morning. Beware this morning. Don't allow your love for the things of God to wax cold in your life. Stir up the gift of God's salvation that's in our hearts. Stir up the gift of God's salvation that's in our spirit, and let the love of God burn brightly in our life. Amen. We must have love. Amen. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. We're going to bring this to a close. Beloved, we must allow the Lord to continue to keep our heart alive with his love. And our deeds and our actions and our desires and our efforts should be motivated with the spirit of love. When we preach, when we sing, when we give, when we bless, when we encourage, we should do it with a spirit of love. With a spirit of brotherly love. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I ask that you would take the message that has been ministered here today to our hearts. I would ask, Heavenly Father, that if we are here in the house of the Lord today, I pray, God, that if we are here in the house of the Lord today and we have allowed the love of Jesus Christ to wax cold in our hearts, that we will recognize the error of our way, that we will pray, Lord, rekindle my love for you, rekindle my love for humanity, rekindle my love for the lost, rekindle my love. Lord, protect the love of God that's in my life. And Lord, don't allow the enemy to subtly steal and cause my love to wax cold. Let my love be fervent. Let my love burn brightly. I ask it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed here in the house of the Lord today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here in this place this morning? And you would slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I didn't even realize it, but I've allowed the love of God to wax cold in my heart. I've allowed the things of God to wax cold in my heart. I've become complacent about some things, and I've allowed the love, the fervent love. Yes, God sees that hand. Are there others? Yes, that hand. And a hand there. And a hand there. And a hand there. And there. And there. And there. Hands all over this building. Are you here? Amen. Let me ask one more time. If you're here, say, Pastor Gary, that's me. I've allowed the love in my life to wax cold. Yes. Yes. Hands all over the building this morning. Stand to your feet. Let me pray with you. Stand to your feet and let me pray with you this morning. You say, well, Pastor Gerard, I didn't lift my hands. Well, let me just tell you, their hands been lifted all over the house. Pray for those that lifted their hands. Right now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the enemy that has come to subtly steal and kill and to destroy and cause our love to wax cold, Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would just remove the yoke of the enemy. That you would allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to put another log on the fire. That you would allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to just stoke and stir the fire and let the embers begin to rage anew. That the love of Jesus Christ would just so flood our hearts this morning. That, Father, we can't help but be an extension of God's precious love. Not only toward our Heavenly Father, but toward men. That they may see our love for you and that they may know that we are your disciples. That they may know that we have sold out and dedicated our heart to you. That they may know that we belong to you and that we are yours. I pray, God, let the fervent fire of love begin to burn in the hearts of those that have grown cold. Those that have waxed cold, stir up the gift of your love and the gift of your salvation in their spirit and in their heart. Let them leave this place today, Lord, touched by the anointing of your Holy Spirit and renewed by the love and the power of our God. Hey, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray it, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the infusion of love. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just a Christenstein full of theological jargon and full of judgment and full of, amen, our self-righteousness. But, oh, God, we thank you for the true reality of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we depend upon your love. We depend upon your spirit. We depend upon your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that we are more than just a trick. But God, I pray that our life will be a treat to those that ring our doorbell, those that bump into our life, those that you put in our path to witness to, those that you place in our life to encourage and love. I ask all of these things, Lord, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you the praise for it and we give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now, Father, as we dismiss from the house of God this morning, let us go rejoicing in the love of our God. Let us go rejoicing in a new and a renewed spirit. I pray, Father, that you will bless the remainder of the week. Give us an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone else. Give us an opportunity to share the glowing love of Christ to someone else. I pray, Lord, that you will minister to needs all over this house. Favor upon your people this week. Let your favor shine upon them as the noonday sun. I pray, oh God, that you will meet every need of every household that is represented here today. And bring us back, Father, at an appointed time to once again magnify and glorify and honor you. And we ask it in the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Amen. Hug somebody's neck this morning. Remember.